This is James Corbett of the Corbett Report. It's the 4th of September 2009 here in Japan and the 3rd of September in the U.S., where I'm joined by William Bergman, who was formerly an economist at the Federal Reserve in Chicago from 1990 to 2004. Mr. Bergman, thank you for joining me today on the Corbett Report.
Sure, James. Thanks. Nice to be here.
All right. Well, Mr. Bergman, tell us a little bit about your position at the Federal Reserve. What type of work did you perform there, and what were your responsibilities?
Well, at the Fed, I graduated from the University of Chicago in 1990. I worked as an economist for 8 years, and my responsibilities at that time included 5 years of writing the Chicago Fed's contribution to the Federal Reserve's Beige Book, which is a review of current economic conditions that comes out every 6 weeks or so. Over time, at the end of the period of my career at the Fed, in the last 5 years or so, I was in an interesting new department at the Chicago Fed called the Financial Markets and Payment System Risk Unit, where we studied financial markets policy relating to interbank payments and plumbing the infrastructure of the financial markets. A very dry area on the surface, but pretty interesting stuff underneath, and a lot of money involved.
Absolutely. Well, I understand that you uncovered some information while you were working there that related to a supervisory letter that the Federal Reserve Bank of Governors sent out to the Federal Reserve Banks in August of 2001. Can you tell us about that information?
Sure. I worked in the last assignment that I was in that Financial Markets and Payment System Risk Unit. I was invited to work in the money laundering area in the Supervision and Regulation Department. And when I was doing that, I had to develop a reference document for the Federal Reserve System, updating some stuff, and it wasn't guaranteed. It had to be good. And while I was writing, the first thing I wrote to myself and to anyone else who was new to the area was basically a primer on money laundering. And while I was doing that, I noticed a few things, including the fact that the Board of Governors had issued a letter to the Reserve Banks on August 2nd, 2001, emphasizing the importance of scrutinizing suspicious activity reports, which are reports that banks and other financial institutions are required to file if they suspect a criminal or other activity that's related to the letter itself didn't mention terrorism or its finances, but they were known to be part of the realm of suspicious activities. And I asked whether or not that was related to any heightened intelligence of a terrorist threat. It was a non-routine letter that was issued at that time. It's possible it wasn't. I asked the question.
And what occurred after you asked that question?
About a week later, my assignment was terminated. I was told I committed an egregious breach of protocol, calling the board and asking the question. And a month later, my position in the bank was eliminated.
So obviously that question was rather uncomfortable. Well, I understand it also relates to an unusual spike in the M1 money supply in August, around August of 2001. And how do you think that might relate?
It may or may not relate. Again, there may be benign explanations for this material, but it's also possible that it does relate to it. In August 2001, at the time that I was looking at the data, August 2001 was the third fastest growing month in currency in circulation, which is a component of the M1 money supply. The deposits are a much bigger component, but the currency in circulation, currency circulating outside of banks, is another component, and August had the third biggest increase in percentage terms since World War II, there was a benign possible explanation. There was a banking crisis in Argentina that was flowering at the time, but there are other possible explanations that we haven't seen evidence that there's been a good investigation of yet.
So just to be sure, the Federal Reserve Board of Governors never actually replied to your inquiry nor ever issued a statement on this?
That's, I guess, not quite correct. There was a very nice group of people in Washington, the Government Accountability Project, and they sent a letter to the Federal Reserve about me and the material. And we did get a brief reply from a senior staff person, but it wasn't complete in answering the questions that we'd raised.
I see. All right. Well, yeah, I see you're going to be speaking at the We Demand Transparency Conference organized by Sander Hicks next weekend in New York. Tell us about that.
Oh, looking forward to that. It won't be cheap, but it looks like a good event, an interesting group of people with a variety of different perspectives on a broader perspective, not just 9/11, but some of the people that are there include some of the family members and other people who are behind the NYC CAN initiative, which is attempting to develop a local investigation subpoena authority. And when you're asked by some of those people to, or people that are helping organize an event for those people to participate, I'm going to go.
So in your own words, why is it important at this juncture to be demanding transparency?
Well, transparency is an interesting thing. It's a it is important. Sometimes a little too much transparency. You know, we like privacy, for instance, in our lives, and how much transparency, what does that mean? It's a big nebulous concept. But there are elements of transparency that are important. That's one of the things that I'm actually, how transparency translates into and relates to something. There's a group, this group in D.C. that I mentioned, the Government Accountability Project, is working along with other people to try to develop stronger whistleblower protection in federal law. And that's, you know, how that relates to transparency is interesting. In the absence, it's their belief, and I suspect it's mine as well, that the whistleblower protection framework is not sufficiently robust to allow for whistleblowers and people to ask relevant questions and shine a light on things where it needs to be shined, to the extent that would be maybe good for all of us. And as a consequence, that's how it relates to transparency, and that's one thing I'll be talking about.
Absolutely. Well, I think no one can really disagree with that sentiment. So I'd love to attend, but of course I'm here in Japan, so I won't be able to. But for my listeners who can attend, what's the best way for them to get information about that conference? Would it be WeDemandTransparency.com?
Yeah, that sounds like the best source. That's what I know. I'm not a real close insider on organizing the conference, but that's the best resource that's out there.
And what day will you be speaking on?
I'm speaking on Sunday.
Okay, excellent. Well, Mr. Bergman, thank you very much for taking time out of your schedule to talk with us today.
Very nice to be here. Wish you well.